I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Knowledgeable.
Listen, here's what's wrong with your hypothesis, your theorem, your supposition, your postulate.
Honest.
If that front ain't in gangsta, your back end won't be able to show its full potential.
Understanding.
You're going to suck. You're going to suck for the next couple of years.
Passionate.
I'm all over social media. I live it.
This is the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Hashtag facts.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Now, here's Kevin.
2-2. Uh-oh. Oh. That's deep left center. Chris Taylor. Not one, not two, but three. Life 7-2 Dodgers. Home run number 3 for Taylor. 6 RBIs.
Home runs, Mr. October. Chris Taylor for the Los Angeles Dodgers. They stay alive in an 11-2 win over the Braves last night. Game 6 will come tomorrow night. Maybe we'll have a seventh and deciding game in the National League Championship Series on Sunday night. Drama last night in baseball for sure. Not so much in the football game. That was a dreadful Thursday night football game. Battling at quarterback were Case Keenum and Teddy Bridgewater, two players who played together in Minnesota. Briefly, you know, as I watched Case Keenum last night, Brendan, I tried to remember one moment from Case Keenum in Washington, and the only thing I could come up with was when he missed Terry McLaurin on a deep shot in that first game against Philadelphia. He hit him on one. Remember, Terry had that breakout game in their first game of 2019 in Philadelphia. You know, the funny thing is, and this made me think of this, we really didn't know anything about Terry McLaurin. They really kept McLaurin under wraps during that preseason. Now, some of us were hearing they really like McLaurin. I mean, they actually think he's more than a special teamer. Because remember, when he got drafted, it was like, he's really going to help us on special teams. And then some of us were hearing, probably everybody in the beat was hearing, this guy McLaurin, they really, really like him. They think he is a significant part of their receiver rotation and that he's going to have a big season and he's going to be a really good player. And it was in that opener against Philadelphia, very early in the game, when I think it was like a 70-yard touchdown pass from Case Keenum, and Washington was up big in that opener at Philadelphia. And then there was an opportunity, I want to say it was early third quarter, and Keenum missed, overthrew McLaurin, who had beaten his defender by 5 yards for another what would have been touchdown, and I think maybe a 2-score lead, and he overthrew him. And that was pretty much it for the season. That was literally the highlight of the 2019 season, was the opener against Philadelphia. It got worse from there. Remember the Monday night debacle against the Bears at home, and then the Dwayne appearance in the Giants game in the Meadowlands, and then Jay got fired after he played Colt McCoy against the Patriots, and then somehow Miami basically tanked the game after they put Fitzpatrick in, and they called a 2-point play that they never even practiced with the player that they threw the ball to. And then that was essentially the only win until what? Was it the Dwayne picture game, selfie game, or was it the Carolina game that ousted Rivera? I don't know. My point overall is I don't really remember anything of Case Keenum except for that Philadelphia game. I can't even tell you that he played a lot for Washington that year. How many games did Case Keenum play? I remember him getting concussed in the Minnesota game and Dwayne coming in after that, and I think that may have been it for him. But you talk about an unremarkable you know, one season or five games or whatever it was he played. Barely remember Case Keenum for Washington. Can you remember anything other than what I just told you? Give me another moment of Case Keenum in Washington.
I know he played in Washington. I know he was here.
But that's it.
I don't remember anything that happened.
Do you remember anything that I just described about the first game?
I kind of remember that. Do you remember him coming in at the end of the year? Because I don't. Apparently he did.
Coming in at the end of what year?
2019.
I don't.
He played in the Giants and Dallas game.
Oh, you know what? I kind of do remember that.
I don't.
Because Dwayne, remember Dan went down like at halftime or told him at halftime, you don't have to play in the second half? What game was that? Was that the Giants game or the Philly game at the end of that year? Do you know what I'm talking about or not?
There was a Giants game where they lost 41-35.
The 41-35 game was the game in which Dwayne really started off with a really good first half. And then he was banged up, and Dan literally, I think it was Dan, he said afterwards, Dan told me I didn't have to play in the second half. He didn't want me playing in the second half. Do you remember what I'm talking about? Am I making this up?
I don't, but again, I don't remember him playing basically after the Philly game. I have completely memory holed the entire Case Keenum era in Washington.
That's what I'm saying, too. I don't remember anything about Case Keenum.
So he played in
after the Philadelphia game. And I remember him getting concussed in the Minnesota game, the Thursday night game. And Dwayne came back into that's really, I think, where Dwayne ended up getting his first start after that long, you know, layoff after a Thursday night game and before they played Buffalo.
So he played in 9 games. I mean, technically 10. He took one kneel
really
down.
He did play in 9 games?
Yeah, he played in 9. I don't remember any of this.
I think I'm right that Colt started the game against the Patriots, which ended up being Jay's last game, when they fell to 0-6 or whatever it was at that point. Because the highlight of this season was the opener against Philadelphia on the road. Keenum threw for a lot of yards and several touchdowns in this game. I'm pulling it up now because I'm sitting here trying to just do it off memory. I just need to pull up the 2019 season so we don't speculate here.
380 and 3 in the loss to the Eagles.
380 yards and 3 touchdowns. Yeah, he had a phenomenal game in that first game, but he missed McLaurin on a wide-open bomb in the second half that would have given them, I think, maybe another 2-score lead. What was the score in the first half? 17-0. And then it was 20-7. And I don't know if it was the early third quarter or second quarter, but he missed a deep one to McLaurin, overthrew him, and it would have been McLaurin's second big one of the day. And that was basically it. Philadelphia came back. They won the game. And Washington really, other than the games that they won, like the Detroit game, the selfie game, and then the Carolina game, right? I don't think that they were even competitive, except for, well, obviously the Chase Young bowl game.
Oh, that was the Deshaun Jackson revenge game. He had 250-yard touchdowns from Carson Wentz in that game.
Oh, right. Right, including one like at the end of the first half where they just, it was a terrible, God, we've been terrible defensively for a while. Last year was actually so nice to have a team defensively that could do something. I now have the schedule from the 2019 season. You know what actually is a game that was very memorable?
Was it the Kyle's monsoon return. Game?
Which one?
The monsoon game against the
49ers. Yeah, the monsoon game against the 49ers. Exactly. Exactly. When they were splashing around on the field at the end of the game. And you know what? That game was actually competitive. The final score was 9-0, and I think it was 6-0 until very late.
I wouldn't call it competitive.
Well, the score-wise, it was. Yeah, how about this? That game, Case Keenum, was 9-for-12 for 77 yards. God, I forgot Wendell Smallwood played for us. What a forgetful season 2019 was, other than Jay getting fired. Bill Callahan, my God, did Bill like to talk, man. The answers, when we'd come in here and we'd listen to his presser from the day before, this dude was a master in 5-minute answers to easy questions. he enjoyed that spotlight of being the head coach for the rest of that year after that New England game as much as anybody did. God bless him, because, you know, the truth is, and I said this, I remember saying this at the end of the year, you know what? Bottom line is, with Callahan, much more disciplined, well-coached team than they had been. Not that they were going anywhere with Callahan, but remember, he threw Jay under the bus when he took the job, or when he got the job, the interim job, and Jay got fired. And then he would, you know, each week, you know, basically take a small jab at the way things were done with Jay. And I'm not saying he was wrong. He obviously had a major issue with Jay's practice, you know, habits with the team. And he said, we're going to practice. And they were a more disciplined team the rest of the year. They were competitive in games. I'm looking at it. The Green Bay game at Lambeau was actually it wasn't a winnable game, but they didn't get blown out. And they, you know, they nearly beat the Giants at the end of the year, which would have cost them Chase Young. I don't know if that... I'm not about to say, well, it really doesn't matter, because I still very much believe in Chase Young. Very much. In fact, I think he's going to have a big game Sunday. In fact, I think the defense is going to have a surprisingly good effort on Sunday. And I will tell you why when we get to a segment here a little bit later on in the show, Washington wins if. Somebody told me last week, just stop doing that segment. They're not going to win. Call it something else. You know, give us some of your thoughts on the games. Enjoy that. But don't call it Washington beats Green Bay if. Because they're not going, there's no if. They're not beating Green Bay. They're not beating Kansas City.
Washington doesn't lose big if.
That we could do it that way. But that's, I don't like being that negative.
Washington doesn't embarrass themselves if.
2019, Case Keenum played for Washington. He did, and he wasn't terrible when he played for the most part. But I don't remember anything other than the Philadelphia game and the Minnesota game where he got concussed. I do remember that because Dwayne came in, and then it was Dwayne's job. But then you reminded me that Keenum came in at the end of the year. I had forgotten all about that. Notice that Keenum came in, and Colt McCoy never played another down. I don't know why that was. Was Colt McCoy still on the roster? Was he hurt? I think Jay was the only one that really liked Colt McCoy. All right, big night for Chris Taylor. Back to the lead story from sports last night is the Dodgers stay alive in the National League Championship Series. A surreal night, 3 home runs. Remember, he had the walk-off in the wild card game the game against the Giants. Which one was it? I'm forgetting now. But Chris Taylor's having a hell of a postseason. And by the way, Trey Turner finally last night, after a dreadful postseason, Trey Turner went 3-for-4 last night. He was hitting 182 in the postseason heading into last night's game, and he got off a little bit. No Justin Turner for the Dodgers. He's out. He got injured the other night. And there you go. It was Taylor in the wild card game when he had the home run in the 9th to beat the Cardinals. So a big postseason for him. They're alive. Red Sox and Astros game 6 tonight. So the baseball is chugging along. The Caps are rolling. Another big night for the Caps. 4-1 winners last night in New Jersey. Kuznetsov with another goal last night. Ovechkin ended up with 2 assists on the night. And the Caps are 3-0 with 1 overtime loss to start the season. You know, they had the 3 games to start the season at home against some good opponents, New Jersey last night, and now they're home again tomorrow night against Calgary. But a good start for the Caps. You know, there was some angst, I think, before this season started. We had Joe B on right before the season started. He certainly thought they were a playoff team, but not everybody thought they were a playoff team. It is only October. I do realize that. The football game last night, honestly, is a snoozer. A major snoozer. And the one big takeaway is Washington's next opponent, Denver, is reeling right now. Cleveland last night that didn't have anybody. They started Case Keenum for Baker Mayfield. They didn't have any of their starting running backs. D'Ernest Johnson last night went for 146 yards. Who's he? He's been in the league and been with Cleveland for a couple of years. Has never had a night like he had last night. 22 carries, 146 yards, and a touchdown. Plus, he had a couple of catches in the game. Denver could not run the ball. I did not feel, even though I thought Teddy Bridgewater looked really pedestrian in this game, they could not keep Cleveland off of him last night because they could not run the football at all last night against the Browns. And the Browns, who have been involved in some wild games recently, you know, they gave up 47 and 37 in back-to-back games against Justin Herbert and Kyler Murray. And then they win a 17-14 game against the Broncos to snap a two-game losing skid. That was a big game for them. You know, they have been considered, you know, not only a playoff team and a potential division winner in the AFC North, but a potential Super Bowl team as well. That was a massive game for them to overcome the loss of Mayfield and Chubb and everybody that was out last night to get a win. Last night, Denver did not get the cover. That game went off at one, Brendan. That line kept sinking last night. I did play Denver last night. Early on, I knew that it was a no-chancer. They did cut it to three late and then could not get Cleveland off the field as Cleveland ran off the last 6 minutes of the game on a 12-play drive or whatever it was to win the game. But Washington's next opponent is Denver. And the Broncos started off 3-0. They've now lost four in a row. Now, to the Ravens, Steelers, Raiders, and Browns, all right, but their three wins were the Giants, Jags, and Jets. So all of a sudden, a week from Sunday, Halloween afternoon in Denver, Von Miller got hurt last night. It apparently is not serious. It was an ankle injury. He says he will be ready for the Washington game, but all of a sudden that game looks winnable, which makes this Sunday, this could be huge. This could be the season changer. Somehow you pull off a shocker at Lambeau as the Packers are looking ahead to Thursday night against Arizona, which they will be, which is why more than anything else that line's come down now to 7.5, 7 in spots I've seen it, anywhere from 7 to 8. This could be the opportunity, and you know, within a 2 week period, Washington goes from 2-4 to 4-4 into the bye week. That's what they've got to be thinking. You know, that's what they're thinking. They're watching last night going, we can beat that team. If somehow we can get a shocker here and play the game of the year, we've got a chance to silence everybody going into the bye week at 4-4. How carried away am I getting right now? Very would be the way to describe that. Chris Cooley joined me on my podcast yesterday. You're going to hear some of what he's thinking right now as far as Taylor Heinicke, Landon Collins, the game Sunday, how to beat the Packers. Had a couple of thoughts on the Chiefs game as well. You'll hear that. Obviously, the big story since we left the show yesterday is that two House Democrats yesterday pressed NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell to provide Congress with the findings of the league's investigation into the Washington football team's workplace, and they want details of the NFL's handling of the investigation. Representative Carol Maloney from New York and Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy from Illinois sent a 5-page letter to Goodell asking that by November 4th, all documents and communications obtained in connection with the investigation into the Washington football team, its management, its owners, and any other matter relating to or resulting from the Washington football team investigation. So Congress is now getting involved in this. You know, for everybody that got super excited yesterday about this, and my phone started to blow up late yesterday, although I will tell you that I spent most of yesterday, Brendan, and much of last night at a vet hospital. But my dog is healthy. She's great, and she's home, for those of you that were concerned. But I was that's where I spent basically from about 4 o'clock until about 9 o'clock last night. Nobody cares, but all is well. But in trying to follow some of this, I would just say the following. I have no idea where this leads. don't discount the possibility that it leads to nowhere. This is not necessarily subpoena power at this point. Whether or not the NFL responds to this, it'll be very interesting. Whether or not they feel the pressure to hand over all this stuff by November 4th. And again, what is the this investigation going to find? You know, it's what if the possibility exists that this actually unveils a lot of bad stuff within the organization, but nothing about Snyder other than he oversaw this culture, which the league's already acknowledged in their summary and their statement on the Wilkinson investigation. They said this was a toxic culture for women. This was an intimidating and bullying environment for workers. The statement from the league, I think we don't give. I want to see the investigation, of course. I want to see what's in the emails, of course. But when the league told you that they weren't going to let you read the investigation from Beth Wilkinson, it's not like they said, we know what's in there and we're not going to tell you anything. The statement from them when they fined the team $10 million, which was a major wrist slap, was damning. It was. I don't know where this leads. I don't know if they have subpoena power. I don't know if the league will respond to this at all. But I will say this. If Dan Snyder, and he claims through his attorney that he was not responsible for the leaking of the emails, that came out early yesterday, that Snyder, through his attorney, said he is unequivocally not the source of the leaked emails. But if he were the source, it would be typical for him not to sort of play out the ramifications. Sure, angry, let's take out Bruce and any of his friends in the process. But to not think about, oh, they're going to start talking about these emails and they're going to start talking about the investigation again. Because the investigation, pretty much 3 weeks ago, for all intents and purposes, was backburnered. No one was talking about it anymore. It doesn't mean that we wouldn't occasionally bring it up, but the games had started, the season was underway, excuse me, and no one was really talking about it as a front and center issue in the NFL or even with the team anymore. Even most of us had moved on and had focused on the season. It would not surprise me at all for those that say it couldn't have been him because he would have seen where this would have led. It would have come back to bite him in the backside because all of this would have been brought back up. That's never been them to see the end game. It's always been about impulse and anger and let's see who we can take out and bully. You think he saw the backlash coming when he sued the city paper? Or an old lady season ticket holder, or they threw McLuhan under the bus when they fired him and told everybody what a drunk he was at work? Do you think they saw that it was going to come back and make them look bad? No, they never saw any of that stuff coming. I'm not saying that some of the people in the organization didn't say, you shouldn't do this because it'll end up this way. I'm saying that if they did, he ignored it. If he were involved in these leaks, and he claims that he wasn't, it would be ironic, wouldn't it, that in his effort to get Bruce, ultimately he got himself. But again, where this heads, I have no idea. All right, when we come back, you'll hear Chris Cooley, who was on my podcast yesterday. None of this stuff had broken. And at that point, too, we had not heard anything from Del Rio or from Turner yesterday. I do want to mention one thing that Scott Turner said about Taylor Heinicke during his Thursday press conference. We'll do that when we come back. Washington doesn't lose big if coming up. Smell test today. And plenty of guests on the show after Cooley. Ben Standig will join us at 7:35. Matt Scheindman from The Athletic, he covers Green Bay, will join us at 8:30. And you're going to hear from Wes Unsell Jr., the head basketball coach of the Washington Wizards. You'll hear him at 7 a.m. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app. Guys, if you're looking for extra confidence when it's time to have fun, Let me tell you about BlueChew.com. BlueChew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. BlueChew's tablets combat all forms of ED and can help men gain extra confidence for when it's time to perform. BlueChew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, none of those awkward conversations about ED, and no waiting in line at a pharmacy. It ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers. And once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, again, it's all done online. BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. If you don't like swallowing pills, no problem. BlueChew's tablets are chewable. They're made in the USA also, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you could benefit from the extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com. And guys, here's a special deal for you. Try BlueChew free, when you use my promo code Kevin at checkout. Just pay $5 in shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Kevin, to receive your first month free.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Wes Unseld Jr., the head coach of the Wizards, is going to be our guest at 7 a.m. Ben Standing, 7:35. Ron Rivera, the head coach, will join us at 8. Forgot to mention that when we teased what was coming up. Ron Rivera will be our guest at 8, as he is every Friday in this spot. And then we'll get an update from the Packers with Matt Schneidman Schneidman, of The Athletic at 8:30. Chris Cooley jumped on my podcast yesterday. Actually, we recorded it for today's podcast. I wanted to play back a portion of it. He had lots to say about the team, the Chiefs game a little bit, the Packers game, but he started with some of his thoughts on Taylor Heinicke and where he thinks this team is right now on Taylor Heinicke.
Well, from everyone that I've talked to, which, and I don't know a ton of people that are still in that facility, is that through camp, it wasn't even close with Fitzpatrick and Heinicke. That Fitzpatrick was for sure the guy. Maybe he struggled early in OTAs and stuff, but as they got through camp, that they really were glad that they had gotten Fitzpatrick. I think Heinicke's limited. I said this to you before the Atlanta game. I know no one wanted to hear that he's limited. He had the big game against Tampa in the playoffs, but we walked through that game and said a majority of his plays were on one concept. And the next bulk were on the next concept. It wasn't this versatile offense. It was just ways to get to one concept. That will survive you a game when you don't know the quarterback you're playing. That will not survive you a season. Now, I do think that they could continue. There's stuff I like about Heinicke, and I think he's a gamer. And yeah. The more they get to know each other and feel comfortable, understand going into a game plan, what do you like? How do you feel? What situations do you want certain things? The better he'll be. But to say he's more than the Colt McCoy, I think that's a better comparison. It's kind of Colt McCoy.
Yeah.
I think I would trust
Heinicke more as the backup than Colt. I think he's a better playmaker. I think he's a much better athlete.
You never liked Colt just because everybody thought he should start over your friend.
Well, I mean, that's a joke, obviously, that he should have started over my friend. But I know
a lot of people didn't think it was a joke. And
I know. I did.
You usually have thick skin, but one got you a little bit.
So let me just tell you something that Taylor Heinicke said yesterday in his presser. He said that that essentially, when you consider the last two games, he said he's been trying to be too perfect, trying to make the perfect read every play, and it hasn't allowed him to be who he is. It hasn't allowed him to be at his best. And he said it's something we've talked about, and you know, he said, I don't want to say that we're making a change, but maybe just have a different mentality going into every play. And then there was one more quote. Hold on, let me pull it up. He just said, you know, for me to be the guy that I have to be, I can't overthink it. I just have to play football like I have my whole life.
Yeah, I think that when he plays free and loose, he seems to be more comfortable. We talked about his ability to make some plays out of the pocket. But what is Scott Turner's process for a game plan? How is he putting it together, and how is he setting things up as he goes through the game? Because in watching the last couple games pretty closely, it really doesn't have this feel of, man, we got them into quarters so we could hit this play-action shot, and we knew we would get them into quarters because we have run this formation or this variation of it two or three times, plus what we'd seen on film in the past. And when you set things up in that fashion, and I'm not saying Scott's not trying to. I have no idea what his process is or what he's going through. But when you set things up over a 2, 3, 4, 5 series full game, and you get into the third quarter and you say to your quarterback, hey, when we go with this run action pass, you're going to get quarters here. So your read's going to be, boom, this safety. He cuts it, take it over the top. He plays off, boom, underneath. Then your quarterback plays a lot freer versus full read out of coverage, which is what I think Heinicke's doing on almost every play, is truly trying to not just pre-snap, but post-snap read every coverage. I think it's hard. I think it's hard for a young quarterback to not be put in a position where, at least on a lot of the shot plays, you have a general, consistent sense of what you're getting in the back end on the other side.
How often, and I'll just use Kyle as an example, really, really good offensive coordinator, how often were you setting up in your play calling early in the game for something big later on in the game? How often was that part of the plan? And then B, how often, what percentage of the time did you actually get to it with, you know, the game context not dictating a different, you know, course of action once you got into the game? You understand the question, right?
I always had a plan. Yes, very, very well. And I think it was perfectly asked. Okay. So Kyle, and that's exactly what you should ask Ron. Kyle would always have a plan. And my favorite thing about Kyle was the Saturday night 15, 20 minute walk through exactly what the plan was with our entire offense. And in utter confidence of how it was drawn up, how it would work perfectly, how we would excel. It was never, we got to do our job. If we don't do our job, this bad thing could happen. If you don't need it, it was always, Pierre's going to knock this dude on his ass. We're going to run to the edge. We're going to get this done. We're going to come back. We're going to go with this boot. Cooley will cut it back to the backside. It'll be wide open. We'll hit that for 30. We'll come back. CP, it was like boom, 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 boom. Now, how often did it work out? There was a lot of second halves where, especially early with Donovan, which is a new quarterback, and as we kept changing quarterbacks, that we got into a base day one, two, three install from camp because we couldn't run some of the initial stuff. So it was aborted. It was aborted a lot, 50%. But it wasn't aborted because he wanted to. Right. I don't think it was aborted because once you get into the third quarter and what you've tried to set up has accomplished nothing, then you've set up nothing, and now you're stuck running. Let's try to run our base stuff. Let's try to get yards there. And when you consistently are running that base stuff, here's another good example. Jim Zorn in that offense stuck with pure base. And week in and week out, same look, same formations, base stuff, and it was out-execute them. Dude, it is really hard to run nine plays with simple stuff and just continue to out-execute. If you don't have guys breaking tackles or making bigger plays, it's really hard when they aren't challenged by alignment, assignment, their position. It's really hard when you're not challenging them that way.
I remember you telling me that about Zorn. But Joe wasn't that way, right? Joe was setting things up, even though he wanted to play.
No, Joe was – yeah, Joe, we were limited in bulk of offense. But week in and week out, we had 10 different formations, motion shifts to get to the same stuff, to set up the same stuff.
Right.
And we did, but that, you know, and that would have been the 30 years ago, is let's stay limited. But now defenses adjust so fast. And the other thing that's really tough, I think, is 30 years ago, there might have been pictures, but there's not immediate right. surface access to, okay, when they shift this here, this is the two things. Like, it's a lot easier to go back when you're watching it on film immediately. So you have to have that consistent build of offense where you're showing them different looks.
Switch subjects real quickly. So, you know, there's been conversation, obviously, about how bad the defense was. I actually personally, we didn't talk about this. I'm not talking about it on the podcast, but earlier in the week, I thought the offense personally was more responsible for the loss Sunday to Kansas City than the defense was. As bad as the defense was, you can't score 13 points and get 276 yards against a team allowing 32.6 and 437 yards a game. I put that on the offense. Do you agree or disagree? We didn't talk about this earlier in the week.
I really don't think the defense is a standout baller defense, but I think they played as well as could have been expected in that game. I think they gave them a chance, and all you're hoping for is to maybe have a fourth quarter shootout with Kansas City in a lot of situations, which I think – you score a couple more times and you're in that position. Right. I don't think the defense was like impressed me to say, wow, look what they did against Kansas City, because Mahomes threw a couple picks and that helped them out. But I don't think they were as bad as you might make it out to be.
No. I gave the offense the bulk of the blame, but I kind of felt the same way you did. It's like, okay, they gave up 500 yards and 31 points, and Kansas City converted on 11 of 16 third downs. Am I crazy to think that the defense wasn't the worst that it's been all year? So I kind of felt the same way.
I don't think they tackled well, and I think
they did not tackle well.
As far as giving stuff up, but then the tackling, I think, was what really was a problem for them. And it's tough, you know, but like Tariq Hill, if he jukes you out of your shoes, Yeah. If he burns you, whatever. But when you get your hands on him, like, you got to get that dude down.
Well, you certainly have to get Jerick McKinnon down when you have him 5 yards short of the first down. I mean, you got to do that. And Kendall Fuller didn't do that. And Jackson had major issues. And, you know, let's face it, the front four, I went off a little bit earlier this week. I just don't want to hear PFF numbers on anybody anymore. I don't want to hear about hurries. I don't want to hear about, you know, pressures. I understand that sacks aren't the end-all be-all. But, you know, you've had people out there trying to make the case that Chase Young's having a very good year. He's not having a very good year. He just isn't. John Allen, to me, is having a good year. Like, every week, John Allen seems to be, first of all, I think he gets doubled and chipped more than anybody on their defensive line. Maybe not last week. Chase got doubled a lot last week. But anyway, that's what I think.
A good year is, for a guy like that, is 12-plus sacks.
Well, yeah, he's got two through six games. But the thing that I wanted to get to was Landon Collins. So Ron Rivera said yesterday, we've had conversations with Landon. Landon is a downhill in the box player. Like, you know, Ron said earlier in the week, I may have to change my approach, which, by the way, will be part of the questions to Ron in my interview with him. And, you know, he cut the kicker. I don't know if cutting the kicker really sends a message. But he basically had a conversation where Landon said, well, I like playing safety. And Ron said, yeah, but you're an in-the-box downhill player, as in you're a linebacker. And really, Cooley, if a player never plays the safety position and is in the box the entire game, he is a linebacker.
Exactly. So, Landon, here's what you're really good at. You're really good at playing down in the box and flat. We'd like you to play down in the box and flat. Hook curl, on occasion, if we have to. We're going to try to keep you out of man-to-man coverage against average tight ends or better, probably against no receivers. If you cover back every once in a while, maybe. Try to play leverage. Keep outside contained to flats. And the missed tackle thing, we got to fix that too. I mean, if we're going to be in the box, we can't miss any tackles. Yeah, no, he's really struggling. And it maybe that is a personality complex of who he wants to be. But it's also a defense that I think that Ron really reached on Jamin Davis, and he is not performing.
I thought he played much better last week.
Better, but I think he right now is a massive liability in terms of scheme and what they're trying to do, and his eyes and what he's seen and his flow to the ball. And he's not the next Luke Kuechly, like Rivera would have said, at least this far into his career. But in saying that, like, Landon Collins could be that guy. Like, he could be a weak side backer for right now. That might not be a bad situation, or you're just playing that like 5-1-5, and he's your extra backer,
right?
Because really, I mean, they want to be in that five front as much as they can.
They weren't in it at all last week.
And that's Kansas City, and right. You're saying if they do run it a bunch, then I guess we'll try to stop them with our four studs. But we got to be back. I think they want to be in that.
How do you think they'll play Green Bay?
I think that they have to play Green Bay a little bit more aggressively. The teams that really have had success against Green Bay have put pressure on Aaron Rodgers. My other question was for you was, shoot, I thought Del Rio had really some exotic blitzes, some 5-6-man pressures, some secondary pressure throughout last year where they had free runners. And I was impressed that really the first time I've seen in a while a Washington defense have free runners, free hitters to the quarterback. So far this year, it's been that five-man front to try to get pressure, and they haven't.
Right.
So, like, at what point do you make that adjustment where, hey, let's start trying to put some of these pressures in?
Is this the week?
I mean, some of that could be probably.
Does Davante Adams end up with 10 catches for 216 yards and 4 touchdowns if you don't get home?
He does a lot of weeks. He's very capable of that.
I mean, if you start sending 6-man pressures and you don't get home, Davante Adams is going to eat either Fuller or Jackson alive. He may do it anyway. Man, he's good.
And he's good. There's no doubt that he's going to eat. If you stay up the soft end zone,
All right, your phone's starting to break up.
It did. It connected to my car. But so Aaron Rodgers is going to eat you alive, whatever way you play him, without pressure. And Mahomes does this, but Aaron does it as well as anybody, is he puts balls where you don't quite expect them or you haven't seen them. And you can't always get that look in practice where maybe you got a guy that you think's covered and all of a sudden the ball's in and you're going, dang, had to be a perfect throw to get that in, but that's what Aaron does. So without pressure, he's going to beat you one way or another.
All right, good luck tomorrow night with that big game that you've got against, who is it again?
Appreciate it. Evanston. Run the
trail. Go get him and get that four seed.
So much fun.
I'll talk to you over the weekend. See you. Chris Cooley weighing in. By the way, when he was talking about the blitzes and the exotic blitzes, he wasn't saying that he saw that last week. They didn't do that at all last week. He was saying specifically that we saw more of that last year. It's something that I brought up, I think, last week, and you'll hear Ron Rivera answer that question at 8 a.m. My sense of it is there's a chance that they are more aggressive here moving forward, understanding that the four-man just isn't getting home enough, and the five-man front, when they've been in that, hasn't been very effective in getting home at all either. If you want to listen to Cooley in his entirety, because he joined me for about 35 minutes, you can listen to my podcast a little bit later on today at thekevinsheehanshow.com or wherever you get a podcast. All right, up next, something Jack Del Rio said that I think indicates maybe a little bit of tension between Del Rio and Rivera. Also, something Scott Turner said about Taylor Heinicke. I'll also have a couple of quick keys to a win over Green Bay. We'll keep calling it that. Wes Unseld Jr. at 7, Ron Rivera at 8. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
Jack Del Rio yesterday, his press conferences on Thursdays, the answers are super short most of the time. This is not something he enjoys doing, but it's a responsibility of coordinators for every team to speak once a week. Del Rio and Turner do it on Thursdays. So the whole Landon Collins playing linebacker thing, which, by the way, Landon Collins essentially said he'll do whatever they ask him to do, but he believes he's a safety. And Ron Rivera essentially in his comments from Wednesday, remember, said, yeah, he's a downhill player in the box. We had a discussion. Landon really wants to play safety, but he's a downhill player playing in the box. You know, by the way, also known as LB next to his name. So Del Rio was asked about Landon Collins transitioning to linebacker. And he said, quote, "Well, I didn't make any kind of declaration. I see our defense working hard right now to get ready for the Packers," closed quote. Follow-up question on what he's seen from Collins the last 2 weeks. Quote, "I would let Coach Rivera speak to that if he chooses to do so. Like I said, we're preparing for our football team to go out and play the Packers football team. Using our guys, and I don't like to get into how we're deploying people, what we're asking them to do. I'd prefer to stay away from that." On if playing closer to the line of scrimmage suits Landon Collins, he was asked. Quote, "Again, I'm not up here to talk about specific players. You guys want to get into that? That's something if Coach Rivera opened that up and talked about that, he can. He can talk further. I'm sure you'll be able to visit with him tomorrow." Closed quote. I don't think Del Rio is very happy with the discussion publicly of what Landon Collins' role is on this team. "I didn't make any kind of declaration. I see our defense working hard to get ready for the Packers. I'd let Coach Rivera to speak to that if he chooses to do so. Again, I'm not here to talk about specific players. You guys want to get into that? That's something Coach Rivera opened up on. You can talk to him about that. He can talk further. I'm sure you'll be able to visit with him tomorrow." Close quote. This is like, I think, the second time he's done this. I don't think he's a big fan of Rivera telling you that Landon Collins is just playing exclusively in the box. Scott Turner said something yesterday, too, that I wanted to read real quickly. He was asked if they've told Taylor Heinicke not to scramble as much, or if teams are trying to limit that as part of their defensive game plans. He said, quote, "I don't have an issue with him running. I mean, those opportunities, they come, but we're not really calling a lot of runs for him. It's more of his runs that really come on scrambles, and they did do a nice job of really containing him with their rushes," meaning the Chiefs. "I think it's very similar to what we saw in the Giants game earlier, just kind of the way they rushed him. So that just didn't give him the opportunity. We called some nakeds, and we saw that in the third quarter, some naked bootlegs. We saw that. Got him on the edge on a couple of things. But as far as just the scrambles and him finding rush lanes and stepping up and taking off, they did a nice job of really kind of taking those away," close quote. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit on Monday. At times, it almost looked like he was being spied a little bit. I asked Ron about that. You'll hear that coming up. Or Ron talked about that a little bit at 8 in our interview with him. But, you know, the one thing that I would wonder is, well, why aren't you calling more runs for him? Why aren't there more designed runs for Taylor Heinicke? Why isn't there, especially since he's in shotgun primarily, why can't we see more read option? We've got a lot of inside zone and a lot of outside zone. We got a back in Gibson when he's out there that is a legitimate threat. Why aren't we, you know, having not necessarily designed runs, but at least option runs with some, with some read option incorporated into the offense? Have we seen one quarterback draw called with Taylor Heinicke since he has started this year? You know, even in a short yardage or in a red zone situation, I can't recall one. But I would, if we don't have access to getting these guys on the show, they don't give us coordinators on Sports Talk Radio for some reason. But anyway, that would be a question. Why not? Why not more called runs for Taylor Heinicke? I think that that's his strength. And as far as the scrambles go, you know, that Giant game was, I think, much more obvious as to what the Giants' plan was. The Giants really did essentially have the goal of keeping him in the pocket. And Kansas City, through some of their rushes, did some of the same things. But I still thought in the Kansas City game there were more opportunities for him to scramble, and he didn't. All right, up next, Wes Unseld Jr., head coach of the Wizards. They open up at home tonight against the Pacers after their season-opening win on Wednesday night against the Raptors. You'll hear the head coach of the Wizards next, Ron Rivera at 8, Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.